the Committee on State and Local Government and Veterans Affairs to order. There is a quorum present. Everybody have what they need, at least for the moment? All right. We are here to meet for about an hour till 3 o'clock. And then we will, if necessary, go into recess and come back at 5:30 to make sure that we are giving the Veterans Omnibus Bill it is due attention. So, and on our agenda, I think earlier today, Senator Jaskowski was hoping to bring a resolution. We're not going to do that today. I think we're going to do it either next week or the week after that, so that we have a testifier who wants to be here and can't be here today. Senator Lang, so you know, has headed back home because of the train derailment in the district he represents. And he's joining us by Zoom, as far as I know. And Senator Lang, when you're there, let us know. I see him there. Senator Lang, you want to check in?
I don't know if you can see me yet or hear me. There you are. Yep, I'm back in Olivia now.
Thank you, Senator Lang. I'm glad you're home and safe. With that, I'd like Senator Mitchell to join us at the table, at the witness table, so we can begin the work of Senate File 2020-47, which is the Veterans Omnibus Bill. Welcome, Senator Mitchell. We have Senate File 2247 before us. I know there is a delete all amendment, which will take the bill 2020-47, which is the governor's proposal, and add the new language that represents the work that we're going to talk about today. So I'll move the A1 amendment. This is an author's amendment, members. And seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please say aye. And those opposed, the amendment is adopted. The bill is in the shape that we need it. Senator Mitchell, would you like to begin?
Yes, Madam Chair. And I'm so honored to be here today to present the Veterans Omnibus Bill for this year. This is an almost unprecedented, above our normal base, of a $128 million infusion to veterans programs that I think really reach to our core values. Things like making sure we have a strong National Guard, making sure we make bold moves on ending veteran homelessness, that we take care of our seniors at our veterans facilities, that we support things like mental health. So as a 30-year service member myself, still serving in the National Guard, and from a family where both my mother and stepfather retired out of the National Guard, both grandfathers served, I'm very proud to be here to present this today to really take care of our veterans. Before we continue, I would also like to offer the A4 amendment that merely takes one of the budget lines that was put in the incorrect place and moves it to the correct place.
So we will distribute the A4 amendment so people have it. And Senator Mitchell moves the A4 amendment. Andrew Erickson, our fiscal analyst, would you like to describe the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I can do that, looking for my own copy of it at the second. But what this bill does is correct a mistake that I made in creating the spreadsheet and took the Minnesota Military Museum being built at Camp Ripley, that I'm sure Senator Mitchell will talk about in a moment, and moves it from the line items from the Veterans Affairs Department and moves it up into the Military Affairs Department.
Senator Mitchell moves the A4 amendment. Seeing no questions, all those in favor of the A4 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed say no, and the amendment is adopted. Senator Mitchell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I think this is a bill that reflects a lot of our values in terms of keeping both the Minnesota National Guard strong and protecting our veterans and giving them what they have done, what is right in lieu of their service to our country. It is also a bill that is very bipartisan. You will see the authors on this are a good mix of both sides of the aisle and projects that do everything from give veterans a place for camaraderie, making sure that veterans are fed and have wellness checks, helping with PTSD and other mental health issues, bonuses, and also the homelessness projects and other things that were mentioned. If it is possible at this time, would council be able to go line through line with what we have?
Thank you, Senator Mitchell. I would call on both Council White and then our fiscal analyst to do a walkthrough of the proposal. Mr. Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. In your packet, you should have two different spreadsheets. One is a more detailed version that we'll begin with. That's the one that's multi-pages, has green columns off to the right. This is the detailed tracking for the committee, and it shows across the top numbers for the February base, the governor's recommendations, and the Senate position, and what's in the bill today. Along the left side, you will see the agencies, both the Department of Military Affairs, and then below the blue line, the Department of Veterans Affairs. The more detailed spreadsheet is used in putting together the bill and the numbers in the bill, but I don't think, while there's a lot of useful information here, it's as useful for walking through. So I'll direct your attention to the second spreadsheet, which is change items only. That's a single page, and the green columns in this case are interspersed with other white columns. On this one, you'll also see the governor position and the Senate position. There's no February base because all of these numbers reflect a change from base funding. In the far right columns, you will see comparisons of the Senate position to the governor's position, in that the first column being the current budget biennium and the second column being the tails biennium. If you're looking for meaning in those numbers, a negative number means that the Senate position is funded lower than the governor's position. A positive number is more funding than the governor proposed in his budget. For the most part, we'll be looking at those white columns in the middle, which are current budget biennium numbers, and I in particular will be talking biennial numbers. That's that final white column represents biennial funding. So with that orientation in place, let's walk through the change items. For the Department of Military Affairs, there is $800,000 for maintaining current service levels. There is $3.19 million for enlistment and retention bonuses. That is one-time funding. There is $1.1 million for the domestic operations communication capabilities, the emergency communication equipment there. The tail for that does drop to $600,000 in the tails. The cyber coordination cell change item from the governor is funded at the same or slightly below what the governor had asked for, $1.172 million. There is also one-time funding for the Army Combat Fitness Test Field House that was in the governor's revised recommendations. You can also imagine here the $10 million for the military museum that was in the amendment that was just adopted. It'll show up below. Moving to Veterans Affairs, there's $33.2 million in the current biennium for that change item, maintaining current service levels. $20 million in new funding for the three new veterans homes. There is $2.9 million for the homeless vets and SOAR program increase that was proposed by the governor. There is $3.56 million for the cemetery funding, operational funding. There is $3 million for MACV supportive housing grant increase. Excuse me, I lost my place there. $8.65 million for the supportive housing increase. This incorporates some one-time funding in fiscal 24 to buy units of housing and then some ongoing funding to support the program. There's a $3 million change item on the MinVest line, and just to be clear about what that is, there's an underspend in the current year in fiscal 23, and so that number is being canceled and then reappropriated in fiscal year 24. This is essentially to be in conformity with the budget rules that govern how money is counted. If we merely extended the carry forward authority of that money, the committee would have to track that number as a cost. By making a cancellation and reappropriating it, this is a cost-neutral initiative for the committee. There is $250,000 one-time in an increase to the direct veteran assistance grant to MACV. There is $1.5 million for the Veterans Community Health Program. That drops to $500,000 in the tails. There is a $560,000 ongoing increase for LinkVet. There is $15 million to put into the bonus pool for the post-9/11 veterans bonuses that was passed last year. For the recently separated veterans program that the governor proposed, there is $650,000 in the first biennium and $600,000 in the tails. There is $250,000 one time for a 50th anniversary commemoration of the Vietnam War. There is $1.08 million for the Metro Meals on Wheels program that was Senator Mitchell's Senate File 1509. $150,000 in ongoing funding for the Camp Bliss retreat funding. That was a Senator Utke bill, Senate File 1237. There is $2 million in the bill for in one-time money for the VSO grants for ADA compliance. There is also here the $10 million in for the Military Museum new facility that, the amendment moved up into the Military Affairs area. There is $50,000 each year, but not ongoing, for the Veterans on the Lake grant. That was Senator Housechild, Senate File 351. And finally, there is $100,000 annually ongoing for the Veterans Resilience Project. That's Senate File 1509, carried by Senator Mitchell. And I realize I said finally, that was actually the penultimate change item. There's also GI Bill eligibility expansion provisions in the bill. That is an open appropriation, but we have to track as a cost any increased expenditures that we think will happen because of increased eligibility. Ms. White will talk about that in the policy sections, but that amount is expected to increase by a little bit under $3 million. The last piece that I would call attention to is in the actual bill language. Which is just on page 9, you will see that there is the cancellation of the one appropriation in 2023 for the homelessness initiative. You can find the reappropriation of it on lines 8.16 to 8.19, where you'll see for the $1.3 million base, there is a staggered amount there, 4.3 in the first year now. And Madam Chair, I think that is all I have to say on the spreadsheet and the Article 1 changes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Erickson. Ms. White.
Madam Chair and members, Joan White from Senate Council. I will be going through the language changes in Article 2. Section 1 expands the definition of the term resident veteran for purposes of the Veterans Bonus Program. Among other requirements, current law requires that Minnesota be the veteran's home of record when entering active duty, and this requirement is stricken in this section. Section 2 adds the Inherent Resolve Campaign Medal to the list of medals for which a veteran may receive a bonus. Section 3 allows for the reapplication of a bonus if the veteran was denied or entitled to a larger bonus than awarded. Sections 4, 5, and 6 amend the Minnesota GI Bill program. Section 4 allows part-time students to receive the same benefits as full-time students based on individual need. This section also increases the amount of post-secondary educational assistance from $3,000 to $5,000 per year and increases the lifetime cap from $10,000 to $15,000. Sections 5 and 6 make conforming changes related to Section 4. And Section 7 makes veteran spouses and current military service members' spouses eligible for therapy through the Veterans Resilience Project, and this section is effective the day following final enactment. That concludes the language in Article 2.
Thank you, Ms. White. And Mr. Erickson, thank you both for the walkthrough. Senator Mitchell?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. If I could now bring up my testifiers.
That would be wonderful. I have two testifiers on the list. I have Ben Johnson from the Department of Veterans Affairs, and I have Commander Jennifer Havlick from the American Legion. And I believe Major General Sean Menke is also here. Maybe we should begin with right there.
You always start with the general, ma'am.
Yeah. Welcome to the committee again. I'm glad you're here. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. I'm Major General Sean Mankey. I'm the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. And thank you for hearing this bill today. And first and foremost, thank you for the generosity in funding all of our programs as we've asked to be funded. I know there's one program that we did not talk about when we presented our budget, and that is the field house that we've asked for funding to build up at the Arden Hills Training Center. So the Army has implemented an Army combat fitness tests, informally called the ACFT. And in this fitness test, it's a lot of events that require equipment and space. And we have over 10,300 soldiers in the Minnesota Army National Guard. At a minimum, they have to take this fitness test once a year, but oftentimes more than that. And as if you look at a winter like we've had this year, we're challenged to administer that test. Before, the fitness test for the Army used to consist of sit-ups, push-ups, and a two-mile run. This fitness test is more complex. It requires special equipment and transporting of this equipment around. And we have been working through that using various sites, but it's really not efficient. And it really takes a lot of time to do that at some of these other facilities. This is a readiness issue for the Minnesota National Guard. And what this facility will allow us to do is support my number one priority, which is our people. When we have ready people, we can do just about anything that we're asked to do, both for the state and the nation in our role as guardsmen. And this facility would be one-time funding from the state, and it would need to be in cash because it would go on federal land at the Arden Hills Training Center. And then all of the maintenance and upkeep to this facility and the ongoing cost for this facility would be paid through for federal dollars to maintain this facility. And then once we get this facility built, the majority of our members are in the 7-county metro area, and that's why we recommend that we build it at the Arden Hills Training Center. They can come in and use this during the week. We would open it up to other branches to include the Air Force, the Air Force Reserve, Navy Reserve, the Army Reserve, which has the same tests that we have and utilize this facility to its fullest extent, much like we do many of the facilities up at Camp Ripley through a scheduling system. And then this facility would also be opened up to our interagency partners if they need it for whatever. So I acknowledge it's a lot of money, but I think it's a readiness issue. And ultimately, you know, we would like the federal government to fully fund this because it's an Army requirement. But I think in some cases, if we wait for the federal government to solve all of our problems, we just don't get them fixed. So that's why I would ask for your support in this one line item. And I acknowledge that, you know, we did not receive funding for our holistic health and fitness. While I would like to have funding for that, I understand we have to make prioritize, but that again is a readiness issue for our force. And if money would become available, I would appreciate your consideration for funding of that if it does come available. Pending any questions, that's all I have. Chair Murphy.
Thank you, General. Members, do you have questions? Thank you very much. And I know we have continued work together, and I look forward to that work together. Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Jennifer Havlick, and I am the commander of the Department of Minnesota American Legion. Madam Chair and members of this committee, first I'd like to thank you for allowing us to appear here at your committee. I would also like to thank the committee for its bipartisan efforts to pass a veterans omnibus bill. We I apologize. I just gave a whole big emotional speech at the Armory about veteran suicide, and I sat here and thought to myself that this bill will help us go a long way to not only working on veterans' homelessness, but providing funding like this ensures that our veterans know that they matter, that they have a purpose, and that we are not abandoning them during their service nor after their service. So I thank you for your support in this matter. We continue to work with you to make sure that our veterans and our active duty personnel are supported, feel valued, and have the equipment, the training, and the support they need to protect us in the state and across the nation. So thank you for allowing us to do this, and thank you for your support with this bill.
Thank you for your testimony and for your leadership. Members, do you have questions? Thank you very much. Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, Chair Murphy, Vice Chair Mitchell, Senator Anderson, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Benjamin Johnson. I'm the Legislative Director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And I would like to take a quick opportunity, personal privilege, to thank and forgive the familiarity, Teresa, Joan, Andrew, and Alexis for all the work you guys have done on behalf of the bill that's in front of you today. I really sincerely appreciate your availability and the hard work that you've done to support this. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate File 2247 as amended regarding the biennial budget for MDVA for the fiscal years 24 and 25. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs consists of two divisions, so Veterans Programs and Services and Veterans Healthcare. As an operational perspective, each of these divisions are then further broken down. For example, within Programs and Services, you'll see the State Soldiers Assistance Fund, our State Veterans Cemetery Operations, our Veterans Homelessness Initiatives, funding for grants to nonprofits and veteran service organization partners, as well as the post-9/11 Veteran Bonus Program authorized last year. Under the Veterans Healthcare and Veterans Homes Division, we have the operating budget for our existing operations and a row to cover the three new veterans homes currently under construction, scheduled to open later this summer. And finally, but not least, our Veteran Suicide Prevention Office. The team at MDVA has been hard at work with our stakeholders, veteran service organizations, partners in the nonprofit sector, other state agencies, the governor's office, and with all of you. Together, we've developed a package of budget initiatives designed to help and assist Minnesota's veterans and their families to secure long-term care, expanded access to benefits, services, and opportunities for higher education and safe and secure housing. I'm proud to recognize the collaboration reflected in the chair's recommended budget for veterans in front of you today. This budget aligns with the administration's goal to supplement agency-wide funding to support our current levels of service, from the existing homes to programs and services to the State Veterans Cemetery at Little Falls, Preston, and Duluth, to make up for years of modest increases that have fallen short of funding our increased levels of service. Each year, the cost to provide benefits, services, and care to Minnesota veterans and their families increases. Even when we have worked hard to identify ways to improve efficiency, maintain productivity within our existing budget, the cost of doing business, whether it be negotiated salary increases or in supplies and materials, has outpaced our ability to operate within the base. As an example, fuel and utility costs have increased 15% and food and supply costs have increased 12% in fiscal year 22 alone. This bill fully funds the operational needs of the three new state veterans cemeteries coming online later this year. The operating budget request will ensure that necessary resources are available for the initial operations and startup, and the first year of operation, certification to operate when certification to operate is obtained, staffing and resident numbers will increase. Your budget recognizes and supports our commitment to becoming the fourth state in the nation to declare an end to veterans homelessness. With a statewide dedicated funding for the homeless programs team, which provides for the facilitation of the homeless veterans registry, and the SOAR team, which provides advocacy services to veterans and their dependents in danger of homelessness or experiencing homelessness. The homeless veterans and SOAR program teams have not been funded previously through a permanent appropriation. They have been funded out of the State Soldiers Assistance Fund. This bill allows us to make that whole. It also allows us to follow up on an appropriation that, in partnership with the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, works to create additional permanent supportive housing units and residential supportive services for homeless veterans throughout Minnesota. Creating truly affordable permanent supportive housing units for veterans who are facing extremely high barriers to housing that the private market isn't providing. With respect to the smaller than requested funding for the Minnesota GI Bill changes and differences in this bill and our funding request for the post-9/11 service bonus, I'll note our appreciation for the inclusion of the expanded eligibility and funding even at reduced levels. I have to go on record and say that the Wallace-Flanagan administration is committed to ensuring that every veteran in Minnesota who is eligible to receive these bonuses and benefits and who applies in a timely manner will be served. If what ends up in the final package ultimately fails to meet that commitment, we'll be back before the legislature to make up the difference. There are a few choices in this budget that demonstrate your attention to the needs we've identified, reflects adherence to the joint targets agreed to by leadership, while also funding priorities brought by this chamber's members. While they may not be our priorities, we respect your decision to include them. Thank you for all the areas you've offered alignment with our identified priorities and for your ongoing willingness to reach consensus on investing in a historic way in the service of Minnesota's veterans and their families. Thank you for your attention. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Senator Anderson.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Johnson, the new veterans homes that are due to come online July 1 or September 1, can you give us a timeline on that time frame?
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. Senator Anderson, yes, we have, they are in a rotating opening schedule. Preston is the closest to being finished, and we're targeting an early July ribbon cutting, and then successively Montevideo and Preston, Montevideo and Bemidji. So we've tried to intersperse them in accordance with the construction schedule as we've been following it. Bemidji had more snow than we were, well, not than we were expecting, but it was a bit of a delay in construction there. But we will be rolling those out and ensuring that members of this committee have the opportunity to participate in those ribbon cuttings.
Thank
Senator.
You. Madam Chair, follow up on the question of housing that you had mentioned. How are we in relationship to having that project completed or done?
Mr. Johnson.
Chair Murphy, is this with regard to the MACV supportive housing units? Chair Murphy, Senator Anderson, we are not going to commit to any additional units until we have approval to in the form of a budget to continue to acquire those kinds of units. The last go-round did secure 50 units of supportive housing, and so this is a goal to reach 100% of our target. This will get us to whole and really move the needle in terms of assisting those veterans with the highest barriers to housing.
Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
I do have a question for the General Mankey.
We'll see if the General will join us again. Welcome back to the committee, General Mankey.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair. General Mankey, you mentioned Arden Hills and the possibility of having this new facility that's going to go up. Are there barriers coming down from the federal government that prevent you from, or is it just the fact that we need to have some funds put in it from the state to get those dollars?
I think that...
General Mankey.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
it's okay.
Chair Murphy. The federal government has not funded this. The federal government hasn't...
I can't hear.
Okay. Yeah, we do not have fed... funding from the federal government for these type of facilities. And obviously northern climates bring unique challenges. And like I said, we have been trying to work around this. And this fitness test was really just fully implemented within the last 12 months coming out of the pandemic. And when we send our soldiers to professional education, whether it be on the NCO side, the officer side, or the warrant officer side, when they go to these courses, they have to take this fitness test. And if we don't, you know, if we take it once a year and we don't train for it the rest of the year, it's a confidence issue. Are they really going to pass it? Are they familiar enough with it to pass it? And we believe this field house will help us increase our readiness by giving people the opportunity to train for this. You know, we all know if we're taking a fitness test, the time to start preparing for it isn't a couple weeks before you got to take the test. So this facility would allow us to do it really throughout the full 12 calendar months as opposed to in the summer where it's much easier to do it, Senator.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are there other questions? All right. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Johnson, and for your partnership. You're welcome. Members, before we take action on this bill, is there Senator Swadzinski?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members. This might be a question for Mr. Johnson. I'm not sure. So sorry that I missed this call. You know, I see it's a very small amount of money, but it is $250,000 for a very important event. And I took kids to the students to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial for 20 years and led adult tours for 5. And I'd stand at the where the two sides of the wall come together. I'm not sure what the
apex
maybe. And I'd point and I'd say, that guy died when I was 1 year old, and that guy died when I was a junior in high school. And so my entire life was this war. And, you know, I had family members that were listening to the Ballad of the Green Beret, and I had family members listening to Fixin' to Die Rake. And so it was a very tumultuous time for all of us, and well, for all the of us that old, like him, that were there during that time period. And I'm really looking forward, because I don't know if there's another event in all of American history that's been analyzed and reanalyzed and evaluated and reevaluated as much as that war was. And I'm really looking forward to us getting it right, because the most horrific memory for me of that era was when the soldiers would come home and people would spat at them. And we saw the same thing in this country recently with the police officers being spat upon. And it took me back to 50 years ago when I saw that recently, or a couple years now. And so with all that said, it's maybe not a question. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for whatever plans you have to spend that $250,000. And I hope more money than that becomes available so that we can really, truly look in that mirror and ask, what is it to be an American, and what did we get right, and what did we do wrong in that 13-year period, or 17 years, or whatever, from 59 to 73 or 75, which, depending on when you think the war ended. So anyways, it's more of a comment, but thank you for putting that into the budget. And I know it's a minor drop in the bucket in that big budget, but I think it's a very important piece to getting it right. So thank you for anybody involved in that.
Mr. Johnson.
Chair Murphy, Senator Swadzinski, thank you very much for calling that out. I had the privilege of providing remarks at the St. Paul Vet Center yesterday in honor of the 50th anniversary commemoration of the Vietnam War. And it was a room full of Vietnam-era veterans and their spouses and Vet Center staff. And I got the way that I am getting right now, speaking to them about the impact of that war and how it has affected me and the benefits that I have received because of the sacrifices of that generation. It's a priority for the governor. The TAG approached Commissioner Herkey and said, "We got to get this right, sir, and we will do everything in our power to get it right next year. We welcome your input. We welcome your participation. If you have people who need to be on the task force or have ideas, we are starting that process. We had three new veterans' homes and a cemetery doing ribbon cuttings this year, and we didn't want to in any way diminish the 50th commemoration. So we've asked for permission to push it a year. The national recognition runs through Veterans Day of 2025. So we still fit within the recognition period, but we will do everything in our power to get it right, because you're 100% correct that it matters that much."
Thank you. Senator Anderson.
To that issue of the Vietnam War, as a Vietnam War era veteran, not going to Vietnam, but serving during that time, just in the last week, less than a week, I had members from the Asian community who served as, at that time, I think, a secret police, secret
SGU.
I think they came asking for recognition to be a part of, they're Minnesotans. They live here in the Twin Cities, Seven County Metro, and maybe Rochester area. And so they're asking to be a part of that. And I don't think we should exclude that part of history, because these men and women actually helped bring American pilots, both helicopter and jet pilots, home, did a lot of things from a standpoint of intelligence for us, carrying intelligence for us to the field there in Vietnam. And I really want to make sure that we get all of that included in this recognition of the Vietnam 50th anniversary. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Anderson.
And Madam Chair.
Senator Mitchell.
Senator Anderson, on that point, we're also doing some work with the Veterans Museum, and I made that as a suggestion to them as they look for exhibits for the museum, that would be a really meaningful exhibit that they might want to consider within the museum as well. Thank you.
Members, seeing no further questions and no further comments, I will then move Senate File 2247 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor? Wait, do you think we should have a roll call? Where Senator Lang can vote? A roll call's been requested. You call the roll.
Chair Murphy?
Aye.
Vice Chair Mitchell?
Aye.
Lead Anderson?
Yes.
Senator Barr?
Aye.
Senator Carlson?
Aye.
Senator Swedzinski?
Yes.
Senator Drazkowski?
Aye.
Senator Fate?
Yes.
Senator Gustafson?
Yes.
Senator Jasinski?
Aye.
Senator Curran?
Aye.
Senator Lang?
Aye.
Senator McQuaid?
Aye.
Senator Morrison?
Aye.
With 14 ayes and no nays, a unanimous vote, the bill is passed and on its way to finance. Members, thank you so much for all of the work. Senator Mitchell, congratulations.
Yeah, Madam Chair, if I may, before you hit the gavel, I thank you for entrusting me with this. Thank you all for what were really some amazing inputs and things that we could include into the bill. And thank you to the staff for, the sanity on all of this. I appreciate it.
Madam Chair.
The motion is adopted. Senator Anderson?
The SR number 18, you want us to put it back in our folders?
Members, if you'd like to put that resolution back in your save file, then we will have it when we take it up. That's Senator Drazkowski's resolution. We were going to take it up today, but the testifier is not able to be here today, so we're going to take it up on another date. It's important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just by way of information, we will meet tomorrow to take up the other bill that I'm sure we're going to pass unanimously as well. That's a joke. thank you for laughing. We'll meet tomorrow at 10 a.m. We have to push our start time back. Monday. Tomorrow we will meet at 8:30. Thank you, Teresa. And we will do the walk through the bill and take testimony. It will be done by 12:30 tomorrow.
Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Is there a cold day on the equator?
Are you asking me? What are you asking me, Senator?
I'm asking you about your bill tomorrow. Is there a cold day on the equator?
Thank you. All right. There being no more business before this committee, the meeting is adjourned.